Chapter 49. How are you feeling today, Gemma? Anne asks. She's sitting on the edge of her bed, an excited smile on her lips. She has on her gloves and her best dress, one of Felicity's cast-offs, let out on the sides by Bridget. Tired, I say, rubbing my aching head. Why are you dressed like that? Today's the day, she says. Don't you remember? Charlie Smalls, the Gaiety, between noon and 3 o'clock. Oh, no, I say, for with all that's happened, I'd forgotten. We'll still go, won't we? She asks. In truth, I'd rather not draw on the magic today, not after last night, not with my mind so tenuous. But there is Anne. She is my friend. She means to take command of her life, and I should like to believe she will this time. But to do that, she will need my help, and I will need hers. I throw back the covers. Go and fetch Felicity. This will take all of us. We devise our plan together. We direct our efforts toward Bridget. I make her believe that both Anne and I are taken ill with the monthly curse and must not be disturbed. She will repeat this story throughout the afternoon, for I've put it in her head quite thoroughly. And, of course, Felicity embellishes the tale, as she is wont to do, until everyone at Spence fears to venture anywhere near our door. But it takes time to accomplish this, and once we catch the train to London and secure a hansom to Piccadilly, we are a full hour late. We huff and puff on our way to the theatre, but when we arrive, Charlie Smalls is just leaving. In his company is another man. Oh, no, Anne gasps. What shall I do? For a second, I am tempted to influence the clock, pave the way and make it all fine, but I think better of it. This is Anne's show. Let her run it. Do what you must, I say. Mr. Smalls, she calls out. Charlie Smalls squints at us. He looks from Anne to me, and finally there's a glimmer of recognition.
Miss Washbrad's chum, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, I say. And this is my friend, Miss Bradshaw. They tip their hats.
Whatever happened to Miss Washbrad? Mr. Katz and Miss Trimble waited, but she never showed.
Anne's cheeks redden. She ran off. He nods, grinning.
Got married, then. Miss Trimble said that's what happened. Guess she was right.
I read about your composition in the Era, Anne says. Miss Doyle says you are very talented. His face brightens further.
Exciting, isn't it? My first musical entertainment, Bowing at the Gaiety come July. The Merry Maidens.
I am a performer, Anne says so quietly it is hard to hear her over the rumble of the wagons and horses on the street. I should like to sing for you. Charlie's partner looks Anne over. He nudges Charlie.
Not much to look at. It's Merry Maidens, Tony, not Gorgeous Girls.
Charlie whispers back, and I fear that Anne will take offence and call it all off. It's true I'm not a Gaiety girl, Anne says, but I can sing whatever you like, and read too.
Don't mind him. He didn't mean no harm, miss,
Charlie says.
Look at me, with these big ears and long snout.
He pulls at his nose.
Call was for noon to three, Tony says, checking his watch. It's after four, nearly half past.
I am sorry, Anne says. We couldn't secure a cab and...
The other girls made it on time,
Tony says.
We're off to the pub. Good day to you. Sorry, miss,
Charlie says, tipping his hat.
I hope you'll come to the show.
Yes, thank you, Anne says, her head low. As they brush past, Anne's features settle into that emotionless mask, and I know that's it. She's done. It's Balmoral Spring and little Charlotte's tantrums and Carrie's nose-picking, and I can't help it. I'm angry. Mr. Smalls, Anne shouts, startling me. She turns and runs after him. I'll sing for you here, right now. Charlie's eyes widen. He breaks into a grin.
On the street?
No time like the present, Mr. Smalls, Anne rejoins. He laughs.
Now you sound like Mr. Katz. She's a nutter. The pub, mate,
Tony says, pulling on Charlie's sleeve. But Charlie folds his arms.
All right then, miss. I'm sorry I've forgotten your name.
Bradshaw, Anne says crisply.
All right, Miss Bradshaw.
He gestures to the curious passers-by.
Your audience awaits. Let's hear it.
A small crowd gathers to see the spectacle of the young lady singing for her supper for the two impresarios on a street in the West End. I feel a blush forming on my cheek, and I cannot imagine how Anne will manage to get out a single note. But sing she does, as I've never heard her before. The sound that pours out of her is as pure as anything I've ever heard, but it has a fresh strength. There's a bit of grit under the notes, and it's married to heart. Now the song tells a story. There's a new Anne Bradshaw singing, and when she finishes, the crowd responds with whistles and cheers.
honey to any budding showman. Charlie Smalls breaks into a huge grin.
It's funny, because you sound a lot like Miss Washbrad, only better. Tony, I think we found ourselves one of our merry maidens.
Even the surly Tony nods in approval.
Rehearsals commence the end of May, the 25th, at the Gaiety. 2 o'clock, and that's 2 o'clock sharp.
I won't be late, Anne promises.
You won't run off and get married on me like Miss Washbrad, will you?
Charlie teases. Not on your life, Anne says, smiling, and she's more beautiful than 10 Nan Washbrads.